Entering into Adar, especially Adar Beis, Marvin Besimcha, Ve'ein Simcha, there is no Simcha, Kataras HaSveikos. There's no Simcha like gaining a clear sense of what it is that we believe and what it is that we stand for. Kimu Ve'kiblu HaYehudim, Kimu MaShekiblu Kvar. The month of Adar is a time to remind ourselves what is so important, to re-accept things that we've already accepted, things that we already know to be true, but to understand how important they are and to clarify that which we believe in. In less than 3 weeks, we'll have the Chag HaSmicha, which in many ways is the most exciting event that occurs on campus. It's an Olam Hafuch, it really is. It's an Olam Hafuch where the young men who've put the most time into learning are put up on a pedestal, and that we recognize that the Torah that goes on in this wonderful, wonderful yeshiva university is central. The Chag HaSmicha is not like graduation. Graduation is wonderful, it's exciting. The students get the recognition they deserve, and an occasional beach ball gets bounced around. The Chag HaSmicha is Kavod HaTorah. And the comparison between the energy that's created around the Chag HaSmicha compared to the energy that's created around all the wonderful, wonderful things that go on here. But they don't compare to the Chag HaSmicha. So first of all, I want to encourage everyone who's here to be here on Sunday the 23rd in 2 weeks. Chaf Aleph Adar Beis, the Yahrzeit Bo Bayom of Yitzchak Ochanan. To be here, we'll have a viewing of the Chag HaSmicha. It'll be 12 o'clock in the Beis Medrash. There'll be Shiurim beforehand, regular Shiur, to watch and to understand the power of this event. And then we'll have dancing on Amsterdam Avenue. In previous years, we've celebrated internally in the yeshiva by looking at our past, by celebrating. The last 2 times we celebrated with Shiurim marking the Gedolim who have taught here, who not every Talmud may be familiar with, and we continue to celebrate our past. But this year we chose to also celebrate our future. And our future is every single one of you. Every single one of you is the Jewish community of the future. And it is crucial that we express to you how important you are. And it is crucial that we express to you what it is that makes all of us so special. Our rabbis tell us that Ein Melech below Am, that even the Ribono Shel Olam, Kiviyachol, can't be a king unless he has a people, unless he has a Klal Yisrael. He created it such that even he, Kiviyachol, is limited. Ein Melech unless he has an Am. And it's certainly true that Ein Rav below Kahal. Chag HaSmicha is not just the celebration of the 200 and just about 230 fellows who are going to get smicha and become rabbanim. It's a celebration of the kehila, and you're the kehila. Not the entire Jewish community is not on our campus. They're spread out on campuses. The future community is spread out on campuses across the country and the world. But the heart, in many ways, of the Jewish community of the future is here in the yeshiva. And whether or not you're going to go into smicha, and I encourage you to think about it after you watch the Chag HaSmicha, but whether or not you're going to go into smicha, whether you're going to go into Avodas HaKodesh, you are the kahal. And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks with an extraordinary series of shiurim. Some, we apologize, will be during Seder time. And many will be at lunch. Some will be here, some will be elsewhere. They all are towards one point. To be able to explain and celebrate that which we believe in and that which is so important to us and to Klal Yisrael. So the next 3 weeks are about celebrating the yeshiva. Celebrating those who are going to be getting smicha. And most of all, celebrating every single person that makes up this wonderful yeshiva. We start today, we have Hakaras HaTov, first of all, to Rabbi Bacon, and to Rabbi Zatz, and to Rabbi Yaakov Taubis, to Rabbi Rob Shor, to all those who helped put together this series in preparation for the Chag HaSmicha. And we're very happy to introduce today the series with Divrei Psicha from Rav Tzvi Sabalavsky Shlita.
Rishus Rav Shechter, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Penner. One of the most frightening moments I remember from childhood, maybe a boy of about 6 years old, I was sitting in shul, and all of a sudden somebody came darting out of nowhere, and he ran across the aisles of the shul. I was sure that somebody had collapsed, and then I noticed afterwards that what he had seen, the person who was holding the Sefer Torah during the Haftorah, for whatever reason, it started to slip, and the Sefer Torah almost fell, and this individual had seen it from afar and zoomed in and saved the Sefer Torah before it hit the floor. Of course, we all appreciate instinctively the significance of Kavod HaTorah. One would never dream of sitting by and watching a Sefer Torah, a physical Sefer Torah, on the floor. And of course, we would do everything in our power, everything in our ability to enhance Kavod HaTorah. And yet, Chazal speak about different types of Kavod HaTorah. Not just the Kavod HaTorah, the honor and respect for a tangible Sefer Torah, but there are two parts of Torah. There's the Torah Shebichsav, and there's the Torah Shebaal Peh. And although it's fairly simple to do Hagbah, for most of us, it's fairly simple to express Kavod towards a physical entity of a Sefer Torah with klaf and dyo, the Torah Shebaal Peh is a little bit less tangible, a little bit harder for us to put our fingers on, and as such, one has to be even more careful to make sure that that Torah Shebaal Peh is not trampled upon, that we do everything in our ability, everything in our power to enhance the kavod of Torah Shebaal Peh as well. When we speak about the kavod of Torah Shebaal Peh, it is impossible to speak about Torah Shebaal Peh without speaking about those who ultimately have been gifted and granted by Kadosh Baruch Hu to preserve the authenticity and the sanctity of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Chazal, in the end of Maseches Makos, speak in somewhat harsh terms about an individual who gives ample kavod to a Sefer Torah and doesn't understand that to give kavod to a Sefer Torah, not to give kavod to a Talmid Chacham, is something which is not only inappropriate, but really takes away from the very essence of Kavod HaTorah. So the Kavod HaTorah that I want to speak about today a little bit is not so much about the holding up the Sefer Torah for Hagbah, not so much about the fasting and the Sefer Torah falls on the floor, but a little bit more about general issues of Kavod of Torah Shebaal Peh, Kavod of Mesorah, and everything that goes into Kavod of Torah Shebaal Peh, with the corollary of Kavod of Torah Shebaal Peh, the significance of Kavod of Talmidei Chachamim. I want to move the clock forward a little bit, not the clock over here, but the clock forward a little bit from an experience that touched me as a six-year-old to another experience that I had with one of my sons. Maybe he was a little bit older, maybe closer to 8 or 9. I was learning Mishnayos, and we were in a sugya in Mishnayos, which came up to a specific halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. And I was trying to think of how to get this message across, 8 or 9 year old, what exactly does that term mean, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai? So I try to make it a little graphic, a little dramatized. Some of the time, you don't know, I try to do that in shir a little bit. And I said, well, let me give you an example of what it means, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu such and such, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to Yoshua, and Yoshua taught it to his Talmud, and to his Talmud, and Rebbe to Talmud, and Rebbe to Talmud, until it came to my Rabbeim. My Rabbeim told it to me, and I'm telling it to you. And he looked at me, the eyes of a little boy can only encapsulate this message, and he said, Abba, I never knew that your Rabbeim knew Yehoshua ben Nun. And the answer is, he was 100% right. And I think that that's the perspective that we have to begin when we discuss Mesorah, that we have the schus, we were blessed by Kadosh Baruch Hu to sit and learn the same Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned, Yehoshua ben Nun learned, Ezra, Rabbi Akiva. I don't mean to single out some at the expense of others, to the Vilna Gaon, to the Chafetz Chaim, to Tavshin Ayin Dalet. What a schus it is for us to be part of that rich Mesorah, to sit and discuss sugyas that were discussed by individuals who had Nevuah, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to, individuals of stature throughout the last thousands of years. That's what we mean when we are learning Torah. We are very much meeting the Yehoshua ben Nuns of each and every generation. Why is it that somehow in today's world, this is a difficult concept for us to understand, why is it that in the outside world, this is very problematic, this notion of kavod, of Mesorah, kavod of generations that came before us, why is this something which is so problematic? And I think that the answer really lies in a very famous story. I think it's about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, at least that's the way I heard the version of the story, when Rabbi Yaakov was apparently on a plane with one of his grandsons, and the grandson was taking care of him in an appropriate manner, and there was somebody, either not Jewish or not yet observant, who was watching and didn't understand what he was seeing. And he turns around to Rabbi Yaakov and says, you know, pardon me, but I have to ask you a question. How is it that in your world, the grandchild is showing such tremendous respect for the grandfather? I don't always see that in the circles that I travel. And Rabbi Yaakov, again, the way the story goes, responded that there's a fundamental difference between our understanding of generations and your understanding of generations. In a certain sense, it's what we would call, for lack of a better term, l'shitasam. If you take the view, if you follow the quote-unquote shita of those who say that man is descendant of monkeys, the last person I want to show respect for is somebody who's closer to a monkey than I. After all, the world is progressing. I'm in a much higher level than those who came before me. Whereas we, who believe in Moshe Kibbutz Misinai, the closer one is back to the others, the closer one is back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the closer one is to the Dvar Hashem, the greater respect one shows to the previous generations. And that comment of Rav Yaakov, I think, has reached an even more significant point in the generation that we live in. We live in a world where in certain areas of knowledge, it is in fact the case, certain areas of technology, where the world is moving very, very fast. Those things that were in a few weeks ago are out. The technology, the phones that we thought were top rate just a short time ago are archaic. And in fact, kachi darka shel olam in certain dimensions. And those individuals who live in a world as such and think in those terms, who have grown up in those terms, that the world is moving and moving and moving and progressing, the last thing we would want to do is to look backwards. Because after all, what could my father or grandfather possibly tell me about my cell phone? However, if one looks at the world through a little bit of a different set of lenses, if one thinks in terms of Torah, of Ruchnius, of spirituality and Dvar Hashem, so then Chochma is also going at a very fast rate in the diametrically opposed direction. We, who don't look at the world only through the eyes of technology and only through the eyes of quote-unquote modern science, but we look at the deeper Chochma in the world, the Chochma Hashem, Chochma HaTorah. So for us, the corollary of that outlook on life is the tremendous sense of kavod to those who came before us. Those who had a clear understanding of Torah, those who were close to the Mesorah, the opposite is true. We show them the utmost respect, the utmost honor, because ultimately they are the ones who connect us back to that Makor, to that Suas of all Chochmah of Teres Hashem. The idea of looking to the past and looking to role models of Gedolim in previous generations, Talmid Chachamim, whose words we study, does not take away from the fact that the same Torah tells us, the Torah emphasizes for us that we are required to turn to the Shoftim and the Dayanim and the Rabbanim and the Poskei Halacha in each and every generation. And as Chazal has told us already, in a sense, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmo Bedoro, that sometimes we have to pask in Shailas based on HaGadolim are today and cannot take the approach, well, what would somebody have said 50 years ago? Rav Moshe Feinstein has his beautiful introduction to Igros Moshe, that the job of a posek of El HaShofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem is to learn a sugya, to become an expert in Kol HaTorah Kula, to have, hopefully, Metz Hashem, the prophecy after the Shemaya, and then to paskin to the best of his ability. And even though he knows full well that perhaps he is not on par with the example that Rav Moshe gives, the Chassam Sofer, and the other goal you want to pick, Kach Nemra Locha, V'el HaShofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem. What exactly are the parameters of this halacha of El HaShofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem? When do we say that we follow the Rav in this generation? When do we say we take into consideration what could have been or should have been? Is a sugya in and of itself? Not for now, definitely not in the time constraints that we have now. But I'll call upon him, the significance of El HaShofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem can never be overstated. Af al pi chein, it is clear that the Shofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem, the Rabbanim, the Tamid Chachamim in each generation are not operating in a vacuum, but they are operating because they have internalized the message of previous generations, because they have turned with the proper kavod and the proper respect and honor to their Rebbeim and previous Rebbeim. It is only because they have an eye to the past that they have the appropriate perspective on the present. Chazal and Maseches Ksuba speak about the significance of a Mora Halacha B'Fnei Rabo, one who paskins a Shaila in the presence of one's Rebbe. And again, now is not the time or place for the details of this Halacha either. It's a sugya in and of itself. But Chazal are clear that there are two issues involved in this prohibition of Mora Halacha B'Fnei Rabo. There is one issue of just lack of kavod, lack of respect for the Rebbe. And number two, there is the lack of Siyata Dishmaya. The Gemara tells us that sometimes a psak that is given because of a lack of respect, not only is an act of chutzpah, but it can impact upon the psak also. Paskening shailas, deciding Torah issues, is not just a science. It's not just Google some information and come up with some kind of a conclusion and put together an impressive set of bar mikomos. There's much more to giving a Torah opinion on something. There's a tremendous amount of siyata dishmaya that is necessary. And here Chazal are telling us that the prerequisite for that siyata dishmaya is, sometimes in the literal sense, but sometimes in the figurative sense, of not being a mor halacha b'fnei rabo. So El HaShofet HaShiyeh B'Yom HaHem is critical in all areas of halacha, but it begins to take on an even more significant in a very unique area within the halachic system. It is clear that there are really fundamentally two different parts of quote-unquote halacha. There is what we call, for lack of a better term, the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. But I like to use the terms the Tzivui Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem, the actual commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wants of us. Lest one think that this is something that was just made up recently, the idea of Ratzon Hashem, I challenge anybody to learn Masechah Shabbos, all 157 blot, and you'll come very quickly to the realization that not everything in Masechah Shabbos is Deraisa. There are one or two Derabbanan sprinkled throughout the Masechta. Where did all of this come from? If the Torah speaks about losasa kamalacha, the Torah tells us 39 malachas nimsu l'moshe misinai, where did the rest of the Masechta come from? And the Ramban, in his most beautiful illustrative piece, Ramban ala Torah, paints you a picture of what Shabbos would look like for the person who observes the lambetes malachas and misses the boat. The person who doesn't understand what tishbos, what the Torah really wants of us, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants of us, says the Ramban, you could theoretically circumvent all of Hilchos Shabbos. You could violate Muktzah and have a Mil Yakum and do everything Kiliachayad and Malach Shansich Lagufa. You could say Shiurim the entire year and never violate one Diaraisa. Says the Ramban, on a level of Diaraisa, you technically didn't quote unquote violate the letter of the law, and you violated exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. You violated the Ratzon Hashem. The Ramban, in another very famous piece, expresses the same idea in the realm of other areas of human behavior. The Ramban about Kedoshim Tiyu, The person could have kosher meat, and it's mahadrim, and a mahadrim, and ala chumras, ala hidurim, and miss the boat. The person who doesn't understand what the message of kashrus is, what the message of taras hamishpach is, can live a life which is technically, quote-unquote, mutter, and yet is a gross violation of what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. This idea of ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes very tricky. It is much more difficult than the tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The deraisa part of Shabbos is easy. The derabbanan, relatively easy. The derabbanan part of Shabbos is much more difficult. Because you have to really understand what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And that becomes very difficult for us because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave to Moshe Rabbeinu what the tzivuyim are. How in the world are we supposed to figure out what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about? And here, Rabbi Chon Vasserman, in his Sefer, in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, develops a yesod. Others have developed also, I'm quoting it from Rabbi Chonon, a yesod which is so basic and so fundamental to everything that we practice, everything that we believe in terms of, ultimately, how are we kaveh, how do we establish what the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about? Rabbi Chonon tells us that this obligation of following what the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so fundamental to our Torah that it's something that even goes beyond Klal Yisrael. It's something that is incumbent upon the Umas HaOlam, the non-Jewish world as well, to such an extent that if one wants to understand the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Balak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bilam not to go to Klal Yisrael, and Bilam says, please, 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 and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, and he says, please, 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 HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, go. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry that he went. The question is obvious. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave him the green light, why was he upset? And of course the marshal is a very simple one. Any parent knows. The child asks you, can I get such and such? And you say no. Can I do such and such? And you say no. And the conversation goes back and forth and back, please, please, please. And finally you say those words which you ultimately will regret. Do whatever you want. And the child actually takes you at face. That's the first thing that he listened to in 10 years. He does whatever he wants. And you get upset. Why do you get upset? Because the child should have known that's not what you wanted. But you didn't say that, but that's what I wanted. The ratzon of a person, the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is no less of an obligation than the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How in the world does a person reach that point of being able to understand what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about? Another mashal from another endeavor of famous human relationship, the young chassan and the young kala, the day after Sheva Brachos is over, they find you in their own home, they eat supper, there's a little bit of garbage left at the end. The young kala says to the chassan, could you please throw out the garbage? And he does so. And it repeats itself the next night, please throw out the garbage, and he does so. And the third night. And finally, the young wife doesn't ask the chassan to throw out the garbage, and of course what happens? The garbage sits there. And she wakes up the next morning and said, why didn't you throw out the garbage? And he responds in those words, which he shouldn't, and they should have taught him in chassan classes not to answer, you didn't tell me so. And she gets insulted. Why? Why is she insulted now? Why did you feel the necessity to say it now and not earlier? Because now she's working with your understanding. You know me already. You know what I want. You know what makes me tick. You know what upsets me. You should have known better. Lahavdil, that is the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can begin to understand what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. As long as you don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a stab in the dark, but you think you're going to get onto what the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. Says Rabbi Chanan, who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How does a person even have the possibility of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This was a question that was posed by Moshe Rabbeinu to the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. Hodieni knows drachecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to know you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'm going to give you a glimpse. For Isas HaChayra, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I work. I'm going to give you a mash or a tipa min hayam about what it means elokus, and we're all geared up, and it's the end of an aliyah, and we're waiting for the next Ola to get up, and we're so excited, we're about to hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the Rebbeinu Shlom all about? And we're in for a big disappointment, because the very next pasuk is, psalachash den luchos avanim karishonim, go take two luchos, and let's start learning Torah again. And the answer is, it's not a disappointment, it's not a letdown, that's the answer. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You want to know me? You have to know me through my Torah. There is no other way to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you know my Torah, the more and more and more you know my Torah, the better understanding you have of what I am, Kaviyachal, all about. And the only way to be able to express an opinion about Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be Yodeas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way to be Yodeas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be Yodeas Terasso. It is this area of Yediyas HaTorah, it is this area of Ratzon HaTorah, of Ratzon Hashem Yisborach, that in a certain sense is more critical than the first. The first, the Tzivuyim, you need a Rebbe for that also. No question about that. And you need a Mesorah for that also. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, Tefillin have to be square. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't cook on Shabbos. That's the easy part of Shulchan Aruch. The much more profound, the much deeper part of Shulchan Aruch is the part that doesn't say. It's the part in between the lines. It's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only those who know what the lines say can express an opinion as to what in between the lines say as well. The Tzivui Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem. And lest one think that Ratzon Hashem is not so critical, that the entire Torah doesn't depend upon it, I mentioned before a ma'isa with the ish mi piyish mi piyish ad yoshuv benud and Moshe Rabbeinu. That far back I'm not going to go, but I can tell you an ish mi piyish ad Rabbi Chanan. I can tell you this particular shtickle Torah that I heard as pure Torah Shebal Peh. I heard it from Rav Simcha Wasserman, Rabbi Chanan's son, who told me himself that he heard it from his father, from Rabbi Chanan. They were walking together on Erev Shavuos in Baranovich. And this is what Rabbi Chanan told to him. It happens to also be Torah Shebichsav, because you can find it in Kutus Dibur Sefem also. But I heard it as Torah Shebal Peh, so I'm being Torah Shebal Peh, yet the Rosh Bichsav. I'm handing it over to you as Torah Shebal Peh. Very famous Maimon Chazal and Masechah Shabbos and the Sugya of Kabbalah Satorah about precisely which day Shavuos was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be the sixth day of Sivan or the seventh day of Sivan? And the Gemara suggests, according to some Tanoim, Hosif Meishi Amechen Midaito, that Meishi Rabbeinu quote unquote added on a day. And it was Midaito. It was in his own innovation, so to speak. He was Mechadish. One extra day necessary for Kabbalah Satorah. And the Gemara asks, my Dorish, where did he darshan it from? How did he know to do that? The question is obvious. The Gemara just told us it was Midaito. What does the Gemara mean? Was it Midaito or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell it to him? And Rabbi Chanan explained, based on this Yesod, that it was Ratzon Hashem, not a Tzivui Hashem. The Tzivui Hashem was, technically speaking, Kabbalah Satorah could have been in Vav Sivan. B'dieved, Matan Torah would have been Chal. B'dieved, you wouldn't have had to do it over again. If it would have happened in Vav Sivan, Zal Zayin would have been Mekabel the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted Klal Yisrael to have that extra day. We needed that extra day. Not Peteris Tzivui, Peteris Ratzon, and Hosef Meishiyah Meachad Midaito. It was Midaito, but my Dorush. But he figured out, he was Dorish, and when you're Dorish, you have to be Dorish, you have to look really hard to figure out in between the lines what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Concluded Rabbi Chanan, the entire Torah, the Zman Matan Teresedu, is hinging upon that Hosef Meishiyah Meachad Midaito. The Gambachoya Minali Olam, for the Moshe Rabbeinu's in each and every generation, the Shofet Asheyeh B'Yom Ahayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts to be able to determine not just what the Halachas Pesukos are, not just what the Tzivuyim explicit are, but what the Ratzon Hashem is as it plays out in each and every generation. This is all Nichlal in Hosif Moshe Yom Echad Midaito. The Ela Shofet Asheyeh B'Yom Ahayim not only has to decide Halachas Pesukos, not only has to decide the Ratzon HaTorah, but there's an even harder job that sometimes the Shofet Asheyeh B'Yom Ahayim is faced with. And that's the reality of the world, that situations arise, new circumstances arise, new challenges arise, challenges that perhaps didn't exist in previous generations or exist in different shapes and forms in previous generations. And the question becomes, how do you respond? How does the Torah Kedosha respond when a new situation arises? And here, it's quite clear, the Gemara is full of these. The most prominent example, the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, Mishnayis, the end of Maseches Shviyis, about there was a reality, it was a social, economic reality, that people weren't lending money to one another. And Hillel realized this was a problem, this was a halachic problem, it was an economic, social problem. And what do you do? How do you address that phenomenon? And unfortunately, tragically, this statement of Hillel has been quoted and misquoted and taken out of context already for quite some time as the quote-unquote first innovator. Chalila v'chalila, come Chazal and give us the correct Torah interpretation on this series of events. And the Gemara Maseches Gittin raises the question, how could Hillel do such a thing? And the Gemara works out the technicalities within the halachic world, within the rules of the Torah Kedosha, whether those technicalities are Shemitas Ksofim, Derabon and Bizman Azeh, whether the technicalities are Hefker Bez and Hefker. It's a beautiful sugya. I encourage everyone to learn Gittin Daf Lamed Vav. Also not the time right now. But I'll call upon him, one thing is crystal clear from this entire sugya, that halacha doesn't just quote-unquote change just because a reality occurs, a problem occurs, therefore such and such changes. That is not the way the Torah works. What does happen is a new circumstance arises, and then, as is clear from Chazal, two assessments have to be made. Number one, you have to assess, is the need a realistic need? And that's also done by the Chachmei HaTorah. To understand, is this really something that has to be addressed in the first place? And assuming that it is there a way within the correct world of both the Tzivi Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem to reach a conclusion, to reach a solution for the quote-unquote problem? It's this third part, which is Ola Agabehem, clearly 100% only in the domain of the Moshe Kibbutz Torah B'Sinai, those who look to the past, those who understand Maralach B'Fnei Rabbo, those who understand El HaShofet HaShia B'Memahem, those who have an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through an understanding of Torah, so they can judge and assess in each and every generation what is an appropriate response, what is an inappropriate response, what is considered to be a problem that has to be addressed, what is a problem that may not necessarily have to be addressed or addressed in a different form or fashion. This is all part of the kavod of Amesorah. This is all part of the kavod of the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is all part of the kavod of the Talmid Chachamim, those guardians of our beautiful and authentic Mesorah. Baruch Hashem, in our yeshiva, we've been tremendously blessed. I myself can say with a tremendous amount of simcha, I have the schus to be a Talmud in the yeshiva and continue to be a Talmud, real Talmidim in the yeshiva. Anyone who continues to learn Torah is a Talmud in a certain sense in the yeshiva. For over 30 years, I had a little bit of a glimpse of the Dor She'avar, very, very small by the time I came to the yeshiva. So the Rav was still saying Shurim, it was the end of the Tkufa. I had the opportunity to see a little bit of Mashu, a Tipim and Ayam, Rav David Lifshitz, others from the Dor of previous generations. I don't know if everybody looks at all the pictures around campus, but there's one particular picture, it's hard for me to miss it because I pass it by every day as I'm about to say Shiur, and I look carefully and I'm really not sure I can identify too many people in that picture, but it's a picture of the Rabbanim when they were holding the Sefer Torah, and from what I was told, when they were opening the doors of the yeshiva campus that we know today. The yeshiva was traveling, had originally been on the Lower East Side, and the Sefer Torah being carried by the Rabbanim to Miyased, our Beis Medrash, our yeshiva. And every once in a while I stop and I look. I see in their eyes a charge for Dorei Doros. We are part of a glorious Mesorah. We in our yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, have the opportunity to have Rabbeim in the past. Even though I wasn't necessarily privileged to be a Talmud of the Rav or Talmud of Rav David, there are individuals sitting in our room who spent years and years and years learning from the Gedolei Olam, from the glorious traditions of Europe, traditions of old. But I can only conclude just a short personal story about what happened to me when I first came to yeshiva, actually before I came to yeshiva. Before I stepped foot into the yeshiva as a Talmud, it was my teen years, and I came one day, one afternoon, I think it must have been during the winter break, and I came to sit in the Beis Medrash, see what's going on in YU. I heard of it, maybe I'd been visited once or twice, but to see what it's really like in yeshiva again. I was a young kid at the time, younger than everybody sitting here. And I sat down, and it was then the first old Beis Medrash, used to be the Kol Beis Medrash, in the previous Gilgulim, some of you may still remember. I sat down in the first Tor Beis Medrash, sat down at the first table that I saw there was a spot available. I sat down, I opened up the sefer, and I started to learn. And all of a sudden, a moment later, somebody else sat down opposite me. I didn't know who the person was. He definitely didn't know who I was. And he was starting to learn, and I was learning. And all of a sudden, somebody walked into the Beis Medrash and asked that individual a shaila. I remember it was a very, very important shaila. Dovra Godol, a shaila related to Yuchsin, a complicated shaila. I was sitting and watching, give or take, as a little 15, 16-year-old kid, watching. Another shaila came in, another shaila came in, another shaila came in. Said, I thought to myself, wow, this is the place to be. This is where they paskin serious shaila. This is the real thing. A little while later, I was told it was Rabbi Shechter who was sitting at that table. That was over 30 years ago. If we want the words of through Kavod LaTorah, which now plaster across Amsterdam Avenue as a beautiful sign, if we want to bring those words to life, Baruch Hashem, we, as Talmidim, as Rebbeim, together with our Gedolim, with our Shoftim, Asher Yia B'Yom Ahem, we join together in the ultimate expression of through Kavod LaTorah, the through Kavod LaTorah of the Torah Shebichsav, the through Kavod LaTorah of the Torah Shebapeh, which can only take place through the vehicle of the true Kavod LaTorah, of the Lomdei Torah, of the Melamdei Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed us with each and every generation. So I can only conclude with the words that many of us like to dance up and down to our chasidus, but you should really pay attention to some of the words. Some of the songs you sing at weddings don't necessarily have to pay attention, but this one you should really pay attention to. Ashreichem, 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 Tamidei Chachamim. What a schus it is, Ashreichem, to be part of such a wonderful Mesorah, for all of us together to be part of the Tenu Kavod LaTorah.